New Orleans signed CJ Spiller for something other than sitting on the fucking bench.
31 other passes that should have been intercepted with you.
So that's why I have David Johnson on my board higher.
If you're doing a live draft, wait till you're drunk to draft this guy. We welcome you to the fifth down.
Johnny Sloat, I'm your host. You're listening to the Fifth Down Fantasy Football Podcast. I got my partner in crime, K-Mill, on today.
What up, guys? How's it going?
Yeah. We're going to do episode 42. It's going to be our Week 10 waiver wire show. Man, I just lost in, like, the worst possible way on a Monday night. To fucking Russell Wilson picked the perfect night to have an amazing night.
I know. What a fucking asshole, dude. I hate that. I hate that too when you're on the receiving end of some player blowing up.
I think I was up by like 50 points and he had Russell Wilson, he had McCoy, and they both did pretty good. Russell Wilson's the one that did most of the damage though.
Yeah, man, that sucks. Yeah, I know he hit that bomb early in the game, and it was just kind of bad news all game for, you know, a guy playing Russell Wilson this week.
I thought that game was going to be like a low-scoring game, and then I thought, you know, Buffalo's defensive line is really going to get after Russell Wilson, but it just wasn't the case. It looked like his knee and ankles finally look completely healthy. He's moving around mobile.
Yeah, he looked like, as the season's been going on, he's been looking healthier and healthier. But he's still just, you know, this offense isn't, you know, running the way it usually runs. There's something maybe more up. You know, I know that they don't have Marshawn Lynch, you know, this or that. But it just seems like the whole offense is kind of on a different page. I really don't think that, you know, Doug Baldwin's that elite receiver that, all these Seattle fans seem to think he is. I don't get me wrong, he's a good receiver. I just don't think he's that elite option.
He's been a pretty big disappointment this year, too.
Yeah, well, and if you were expecting him to repeat his touchdown performance last year, then, you were mistaken from the get-go. There was no way he was going to be able to repeat that success.
Well, so I'm going to say, if you're getting him in, like, the fourth or fifth round, I don't really feel like he's been returning that value for you.
No, absolutely not. And in most drafts, you would have had to have got him in the fourth round, so I really don't think that he's returning that value. And not to mention, it's pretty bare underneath him. You know, you got Tyler Lockett, who's good for about, you know, maybe a big gainer, like, you know, a big chunk yardage of, like, a big 40-yard catch a game, or nothing, basically, with him. And then, other than that, you got, like, you know, waiver wire guys, you know, guys that belong to the waiver wire, like Tanner McAvoy, and, you know, all this
Jermaine
stuff.
Jermaine Curse.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, Jimmy Graham has been really surprisingly productive, too. So
he's been making great catches out there today.
Yeah, he had a monster game tonight, that's for damn sure.
And I think he's, like, second in the league in yards from the tight end position. Like, that's pretty good. He's bounced back in that way.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be the Doug Baldwin from last year.
Man, dude, I tell you, man, I think I'm eating it on Jimmy Graham this year because, you know, all preseason I was like, fuck this guy. He's not going to fucking do shit. He's going off a
Well, remember, I think both of us didn't even put him in, like, the top 20. We're like, oh, man, I doubt he'll even return.
Yeah,
we could not have been more wrong.
Yeah, there was a lot of guys we missed on, a lot of guys we hit on, but, yeah, he's one of the guys I pretty much missed on. I didn't expect him to come back in the way he's come back, and he seems like a good fit for that offense.
Into some a little bit of news and notes here. There's not a whole lot out there. You know, Derrick Henry, he could miss a couple of days. He could miss a couple of weeks. He has a calf strain, so it's not like a terribly significant injury. I've had a calf strain before. I was out of commission for about a week, and then I was good to go. I think that's kind of like the time frame that you're looking for. Really, just depends on like how well he deals with pain. You know?
Yeah, it's a pain tolerance type of thing. And, you know, I don't really think it's too big of a deal, especially because he hasn't been too fantasy relevant this year except for a couple games. But the big thing to watch out for is, you know, if DeMarco Murray gets hurt too, this Tennessee Titans team is going to be hurting at running back. So definitely to keep an eye on because we already know DeMarco Murray's been a little banged up. So definitely something to keep an eye on.
I mean, I'm just saying that if you are a Derrick Henry owner, and don't let this injury make you drop him because this is the time of the year where you want to get those guys that could potentially jump in there in that RB2, RB1 slot if the top guy was to go down. And Derrick Henry's one of those top stashes in the league.
Yeah, definitely. This is a run-heavy offense. If you have Derrick Henry on your team and you can afford to keep him on your bench, I would go ahead and do so.
You know, what's kind of more alarming is Spencer Ware. It's kind of interesting to know that his concussion is still kind of lingering on after missing a whole week.
Yeah, you know, he's still having those lingering concussion syndrome or symptoms, and I really hope so because I play a guy with him on the team. So I hope Karl-Chandrick West takes that lead role again next week, just for my own fantasy team's sake. But yeah, honestly, if you're a Spencer Ware owner, you're looking for a contingency plan right now, and you know. A lot of waiver wires, there's some pretty good options, and we'll get into that with running backs, but for the most part, it's pretty bare for, like, usable fantasy options.
You know, you were talking about this on our last show. Derek Sproles has now out-touched Ryan Matthews 36-11 the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you know what, though? And I have noticed that, too, but the big thing is Ryan Matthews, though, has he's not droppable at this point, but I would say that he's a usable flex play because, you know, this Sunday he proved it. He can still get a touchdown, you know, here or there. So it's an extremely risky flex play, but, you know, a flex play nonetheless. If you're desperate, you have some teams on a bye this week that are really hurting you, I think that if you have him on your team and you have to use him, I would only feel safe putting him in the flex.
Woof. I know we don't typically cover kickers on this show, but you know, if you're a Blair Walsh owner, he could be losing his job. Or, you know, he keeps missing these extra points.
Yeah, Blair Walsh, man. I mean, you know, he showed it last year. I mean, Minnesota had it. They had the game wrapped up, and he missed it on the biggest stage. And if I was a Vikings coach, if I was Mike Zimmer,
he would cut right there on the spot, to be honest. If you miss, like, a 20-yard field goal in the playoffs, like, you are no longer on my team. Like, get the fuck out of town.
Yeah,
like,
no,
kickers to me are a dime a dozen. Like, I'd give them the boot right there.
Yeah, Billy Cundiff with the Ravens, that was kind of reminiscent of that. You know, I remember when he missed that field goal. It was like Baltimore had the game sealed against New England, but Billy Cundiff missed that field goal wide right, and he was cut, I think, a couple days later after the Ravens were eliminated from the playoffs, and that's what I would do. If I was a coach, no tolerance. If you miss a game-winning field goal, a makeable game-winning field goal, I'm not talking like a 55-yarder. If you miss a 20-yarder in a playoff game, fuck you, you're done. You're out of here.
I mean, just think about how many of these kickers are just brought in and they're undrafted and they play just fine, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
May have a concussion. I don't know how serious that is, but I mean, that'd be a blow, especially after they lost Vincent Jackson for the year.
Yeah, from one of our reports I've heard today, he was practicing, so that's a good sign in the right direction, but we all know that concussion protocol nowadays is pretty tricky, so definitely keep an eye on it if you're an Evans owner like myself.
And then we'll get into some... Their defensive line is already getting gashed as of late, and it's not going to help them at all. So I think that's kind of a big blow for them. I know they have a lot of other pass rushers that they can use, but he's a nice big body that was in the middle there too, you know.
Yeah, man, they can't afford to lose too many other people. They already said, too, that Aqib Talib will be out until their Week 11 bye at least with back issues.
Yep.
And then Kayvon Webster is still in limbo, so this defense is actually losing a lot of big playmakers.
Yeah,
so
flies.
Yeah, man, it's hard to see. But I was just say one thing about that damn fucking Sunday night game, and that the fucking officiating was an absolute travesty. Let me tell you,
it was no good.
Yeah, that officiating was no good, and that was some home cooking in Oakland. But I will say this, Denver's offense...
It's been bad all year, though, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, the officiating's been crap. It's like the calls you think are going to get called don't get called, and the calls that you don't think are going to be called are somehow called. And I'm just like, where the fuck is the pass interference? Anyways, I'm off my soapbox. Let's get into it.
Let's get into some of the top performers of the week. Who do you think had the most passing yards this week?
Oh, man. Probably Matt Ryan over the week.
There's actually two that are higher than him, and one of them is really surprising. The top passer of the week was actually Colin Kaepernick with 398 yards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, granted, it was against the New Orleans Saints offense or defense, but, I mean, I didn't think he was going to throw. I didn't think he was going to do that. I mean, I think a lot of them came off like three long pass plays, but, yeah, he led the league in passing yards this week. He only threw for two touchdowns, but ultimately they could not keep up with that Saints offense. Carson Wentz had 364 yards, but he didn't throw a touchdown. Yeah, it was two ugly interceptions that kind of did him in early. It just looked like from there on, they're just playing comeback, and it just wasn't meant to be against the Giants defense.
You know, I'm really surprised at how, you know, sometimes I'm like, wow, Carson Wentz, you know, he looks like he could be a great NFL quarterback one day, you know, with some of the throws he makes. And there's others where I'm like, crap, man, you remember that this kid is a rookie.
Yeah, could say that again. And then the aforementioned Matt Ryan had a big day on Thursday night, 344 yards and four touchdowns, just shredding Tampa Bay to bits. I'll get over into Tampa Bay in a little bit too, but yeah, he looked great.
Just picture it, man. Because Matt Ryan, I said preseason, and I do say this, and you can check the records to quote me, but I did say that he was a great option for like late in fantasy drafts, because a lot of people were overlooking him from last year. And I said, man, you know, I don't know so much about hitting those quarterback one numbers, but he'll definitely hit QB2 numbers. And, man, has he outperformed even what I said he would do. I mean, this guy, if you took him in a draft, man, you got a fucking golden ticket from Willy Wonka himself.
I mean, just look at it. We did say that, you know, you could definitely wait on quarterbacks. And guys like Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, they're kind of putting up similar numbers to those guys that you could have gotten in, like, the 7, 8, 9 rounds. And then guys like, you know, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, they're actually outperforming them right now, and you could have got them in, like, the double-digit rounds, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, shit, even...
That's what I'm saying. You wait on your quarterbacks, people. It is the same leagues as it was, like, 10 years ago.
Even guys like Matthew Stafford and, you know, other guys like that, you know, there's surprising names that are, you know, atop, you know, the quarterback leaderboard. Andy Dalton, too. You know, like, as far as yardage goes. And
Marcus Mariota's been picking up his play lately, too. I know he did have those two pick sixes this week, but he's a guy that's been picking up his play before that happened.
Yeah, you know, I won't vouch for Mariota as, like, a real-life fantasy or a real-life good quarterback, but I will say as a fantasy option, he's been fantastic.
I mean, it has a lot to do with the rushing yards he's been getting as well, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Drew Brees made the list, 323 yards. He had three touchdown passes. And, yeah, Marcus Mariota had 313 yards. He had three touchdowns. And like we said, he had those two pick sixes. So it's not what you'd like to see. But let's get into some top rushers. Melvin Gordon had nearly 200 yards and a touchdown. He looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah, dude. You know, all year it was kind of worrying me, you know, being an owner. I ended up trading him, but, you know, all year was really scaring me with that yards per carry, and I was like, man, he's kind of turned a little touchdown dependent. I still thought it didn't worry me too much, but it was worrying me in the fact of, like, wow, I'm going to be a playoff team, you know, can I really count on Melvin Gordon? And he's been taking it up the last 2 weeks, man. He's been a man on fire, and he showed it this week. Like, there was a little injury scare, and they came back in and, like, went on a 46-yard scamper. So, I mean, this guy's got it. I think it's probably a matter of if San Diego can block for him, I think that he is definitely RB1 rest of the season easy.
Mark Ingram seemed like a man possessed in this game. He looked like he was pissed off about that he lost his job, which he still got out-carried by Hightower, but definitely outperformed Hightower. 15 carries for 158 yards. Half of it did come off that long touchdown run. But, yeah, he looked a lot better than he did the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that he all of a sudden just was like, you know, he finally woke up. Like, he was like, oh, I got the job, you know, this and that. And then all of a sudden the coaches were threatening him with fucking Hightower. He's like, who the fuck is this punk? And then he just fucking came out, did his thing, and now he's back in it.
you know, I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, going against San Francisco. That's what the doctor ordered, you know. They've been getting ran on all year, and then they just took advantage of that. I mean, look on that 75-yard touchdown run. He looked like he was fucking like a World Olympic track runner against that defense. I couldn't believe they couldn't catch him.
Yeah, you know, I think the San Francisco and New Orleans defense are both fighting over who is the worst in the NFL right now. I really genuinely think that.
Well, I think San Francisco won that one.
Yeah, I think so too, as referenced by the score.
Latavius Murray had 20 carries for 114 yards, and he had 3 1-yard plunges for a touchdown. It looks like his role as the lead back in Oakland is secured. That's another thing to look forward to. That offensive line looks dominant all game long.
Yeah, you know, if you were a guy that bought low on Latavius Murray, man, you're really getting a good return now, because I think that he's going to keep that lead job for the rest of the season. So if you bought low on guys who were freaking out from the three-back committee talk and, you know, his injury, man, you made a big mistake, because, he made those mistakes.
Yeah, I bought low on him, and he blew up on my bench, so.
Yeah, happens to the best of us. I don't think any of us saw that coming.
I did. I don't know if I seen him getting 3 touchdowns, but I did see him having a lot of success against Denver. I did see Oakland, you know, coming out, running the ball on him. That's the one thing you can do on Denver. And people think that, you know, Denver's a scary matchup for running backs, but they really haven't been this year. I think we could stop saying, oh, that's a bad matchup. You know?
Yeah, no. Denver has not done well against running backs this year.
But
so,
what you don't want to do is start your quarterback against Denver like I did. So don't do that.
Running backs are, you know, Denver is very middling against the running back at best. They've been ceding a lot of yards to running backs this year. So I think that I would, if you're, you know, running backs going against Denver, I really wouldn't be too scared about that.
Yeah, your boy Jai had another 100-yard game, 24 carries for 111 yards. He did get that 20-yard touchdown run. He keeps rolling. That was against the league's number one rushing defense too.
I know. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I hate to say I told you so. Who am I kidding? I love saying I told you so.
I mean, I think it's really looking like he's gonna be like a kind of like one of those like back-end RB1, even the mid-range RB1s for the rest of the year, you know?
Yeah, could potentially be a playoff winner for some teams. The other thing, too, is, you know, like worth mentioning is that Adam Gase said they were going to curb his workload, and you didn't really see it on Sunday. I mean, he got 20-plus carries, and he got 4 targets in the air, and he actually didn't look bad at any point in the game.
I was calling bullshit on that the whole time.
Yeah, I did, too. I was like, no, there's no
way. I mean,
way.
Who
like,
else are they going to give the ball to? Damien Williams?
Think about it this way. Think about it this way. The 3 weeks that Ajayi has been the lead back in Miami, they've won all 3 games, and I think that Adam Gase and the Dolphins have finally found a winning formula, so they're going to feed that guy until he's broken. So feel free. As long as Ajayi is healthy, he's an RB1 in my eyes.
And, you know, Ivory came out of hibernation, 18 carries for 107 yards. I mean, 42 of it did come off of 1 carry, so keep that in mind. But, you know, it's nice to see.
Yeah, you know, he came back from the dead all of a sudden, but he also had a goal line fumble, too. So, you know, sucks to suck.
Yeah, and that's why Yeldon actually ended up getting the touchdown. Although, if you look at that instant replay, that was not a fumble. The ball did cross the line. Like, I think the ref botched that call. And they pretty much turned the tide and ultimately cost Jacksonville the victory.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot you could say about that, but you know what? I think that Chris Ivory's lost a lot of credibility in my eyes, so fuck that guy.
You can clearly see his white glove, like on that ball, and it crosses the goal line before that ball comes out of his hand. Like that was such a shit call.
Yeah, well,
the
show,
the refs have been botching shit all year.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you. I think that it was a touchdown, but you know what? Fuck it. Who cares? The Jaguars, they're shit anyways.
Mike Evans, he exploded, obviously, on Friday or Thursday night. We all seen 11 catches, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, He's looking like a guy that could potentially, you know, maybe even be that number one guy for all the receivers this year, you know? Finish number one. I could definitely see something like that happening.
Yeah, I saw something very similar to that preseason. I thought that Mike Evans could potentially be, like I really didn't see a whole lot of a drop-off, you know? And, you know, because, like, you know, everybody puts, you know, Antonio Brown, Odell, and Julio all in the same category. And then everybody else is like a tier below. And I said that, you know, Evans really isn't too much of a drop-off from those guys, you know. And I'm kind of getting proved right now because, you know, Evans has been on a fucking tear lately, man. Like, that guy is a man possessed right now. And you know, I think, too, you know, Jameis Winston throws the ball 50 times a game. You know, Evans has those opportunities every single game he's healthy.
And I think we are probably one of the few shows this week that said, yes, you should definitely get Jason Witten into your lineup. And if you did, it really paid off. 8 catches, 134 yards with a touchdown. I mean, that's just what Cleveland does against good tight ends. I mean, get
yeah.
a lot of yards.
Hey, man, turn back the clock. Yeah, it was amazing.
Mike Wallace, 4 catches for 124 yards for a touchdown. I mean, obviously he had that 95-yard touchdown pass. That had a lot to do with why he had a good game. But it was nice to see, because that's something that Baltimore kind of has been missing for the past couple of weeks, is that long playability. So it was really nice to see that, especially in a divisional game that they really needed to win because they didn't want to, you know, break that 4-game losing streak. And kudos to them.
Yeah, Mike Wallace proves again and again that if he has a halfway decent quarterback, he can actually still produce. So,
Julio Jones, 8 catches for 111 yards and a touchdown. So, I mean, that obviously was to be expected going against Tampa Bay. But here's a random one for you. Quentin Patton gets his first career 100-yard game against the Saints. He went 6 for 106. They're all scoreless yards, but I mean, that was a random one. Another random one, Eli Rogers from Pittsburgh, 6 for 103, no touchdowns, his first career 100-yard game.
Yeah, you can safely leave both of those guys in the waiver wire. Maybe Eli Rogers. But...
Well, you know, I think Eli Rogers might come into that slot role with Darius Bay going down. I think he'll play a bigger role. I think it'll be Brown. It'll be Coates, and then it'll be Rodgers. Rodgers kind of succeeded a little bit in that slot position early on in the season, but obviously he's not a guy you're going to rush out and go pick up because it's too unknown. Big Ben's still trying to recover. It's just a situation to stay away from for right now. Even guys like Sammy Coates, you got to kind of be a little bit worried about, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, some of those are just situations to avoid. But, yeah, I do agree, though, that Eli Rogers is fantasy relevant for sure. Maybe, I mean, as a spot start kind of guy.
All right, let's jump into some waiver wires.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll start at the quarterback position. There's really not any, I think, you absolutely must pick up. So, I just play a little game with these quarterbacks, right?
Okay.
We'll do a little bit of higher fire. You got Carson Wentz, 38% owned. He's at home next week against Atlanta. If your quarterback is on a bye, would you pick him up and start him?
Yeah, I would have to say so. I like that matchup. Atlanta is a weak defense against receivers and, you know, quarterbacks. So I think that this is a good matchup for him.
Would you look at him as one of the more higher stream plays this week?
Well, I like this stream play. Probably it's one of the best in my opinion. The only other one's better if say maybe Marcus Mariota is still available in your league because I can't remember the exact ownership numbers, but he should still be out there in a lot of leagues. And then same with Joe.
I do believe he is over 50% in Yahoo leagues.
Yeah, but there's some leagues where I know he's like right on that fringe of 50%. So if he is still out there, obviously I think that Marcus Mariota is going against Green Bay. I think that's a great matchup. And Joe Flacco is going against Cleveland, so I think that's always kind of a recipe for success, you know, if you can get Cleveland.
Higher fire, Ryan Tannehill, 35% owned on the road against San Diego.
You know what? I think that I'm going to say fire just because the team is now kind of a run-heavy team. They're not expecting too much out of Tannehill week to week, so I think it's a fire for me.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're like a Jarvis Landry owner right now, you're kind of frustrated because he's not really even seeing the volume either.
Yeah, like, I think that the only
not throwing, they're just not throwing the ball enough, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they just aren't, and it's suiting them well. I mean, they're winning games now because, you know, they used to think that, you know, Tannehill could be the savior of the team, and now that he proved that he physically cannot do that, you know, JHI is playing that role magnificently.
I think a running team suits Ryan Tannehill perfectly.
I think so, too, yeah.
The less opportunities you give him to fuck up, the better.
Yeah, and you know what? He does have good intangibles, but, you know, man, if you make him throw the ball 30 times a game, that's just a recipe for disaster.
All right. I fire Joe Flacco going against Cleveland.
I'd say higher, definitely. If there's one thing Cleveland's proven all year, they only have pretty much one weapon on defense, and that's Joe Hayden. And that doesn't concern me enough to, you know, not stream a quarterback against him. I think that if anyone's playing Cleveland, you should just go ahead and feel safe streaming them because Cleveland sucks.
Yeah, but, you know, the only thing that kind of concerns me about a guy like Joe Flacco is he's just not getting the touchdowns, man.
That is true. That's a good concern. But with a heavy hitter like Mike Wallace and Steve Smith, he looks like he's still that force to be reckoned with, you know, when healthy. So I think that this...
Listen to these touchdown totals. It goes 1-2-0-1-1-0-0 by week one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you bring up a good point. The touchdown production hasn't been there week to week, but I still feel pretty safe, you know, playing against Cleveland. And if in a desperation quarterback play, let me rephrase that.
All right, the next one is fire. Alex Smith, I don't think you really want to do this. Carolina. Fitzpatrick could stay on the waiver wire. Kaepernick could stay on the waiver wire. Fire. Sam Bradford, 15% owned. He's going on the road against Washington.
You know what? This is hard to say for me. There's some games Washington's fucking pass defense is like, you know, Swiss cheese, and the other weeks, you know, they somehow learn how to defend the pass again. So I say fire just because of the simple fact that he looked good the first like 5 weeks of the season. I was like, wow, you know, Sam Bradford's making those throws and that. But now he's kind of caught on, and I don't really think that he's a safe streaming option anymore.
I'll say he actually looked pretty halfway decent against Detroit, but it was against, you know, Detroit. One thing I did like is what I've seen out of their offense is well, North Turner isn't there anymore.
Yeah,
so now they're kind of going into more like shorter, like 2 to 3 step drops, and he's getting the ball out of his hand a lot faster, but the completions are really short. So I don't really know if there's a real high upside for touchdowns there. So I have to agree with you, especially since, you know, Minnesota's offensive line is not that good, and I could see Ryan Kerrigan getting after them. So that's another thing you got to keep in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
Trevor Siemian, he is going on the road against the New Orleans Saints. I mean, we just seen what Kaepernick can do, and he's probably one of the worst quarterback in the league. And Trevor Siemian is not much better than Kaepernick, so I could definitely see him having a decent game.
Yeah, I think if your quarterback's on a bye this week, you know, there's several people that will be on a bye this week. So, you know, if you need a quarterback and you don't have a, you know, another one on your bench or whatever, I think that he's pretty safe. Obviously, I wouldn't spend any waiver priority on him, but, you know, if he's still available after the waiver period ends, it, you know,
I should be, too. I mean, there shouldn't be anybody out there rushing out to get him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying definitely don't be stupid and waste a waiver priority, but, you know, absolutely. I think that anybody playing the Saints is pretty much a good play that week. Even if it blows up in your face, at least you know that you streamed that matchup.
Even if it completely blows up in your face, just know you did that.
Yeah, you did that, and you know what?
Congratulations.
And you damn well should, because, you know, New Orleans defense is so horrible. If some week they show up to play, you can't even be mad at yourself. You're like, I did everything possible. So, you know what? You can feel safe.
I think the only other guy I see on here that's worth streaming There's a guy like Jay Cutler. He's going on the road against Tampa Bay. He's 8% owned. I think that could actually be a pretty good play.
Yeah, that could be shaping up for one. And actually, you know, Jay Cutler being back, you know, Alshon Jeffrey was finally utilized a little bit more. So that's always good, too. It's a good sign if you're a Jeffrey owner.
It's a really good sign if you're a Jeffrey owner, if you're a Zach Miller owner, because, you know, them two combined had 18 targets last game. So
yeah, exactly. And, you know, Jay Cutler,
that's a trend that will continue.
Yeah, Jay Cutler's in the line, I thought, is a trend that will continue. So I think that if, you know, there is definitely that touchdown upside, too, if you start Jay Cutler this week. So that is an option as well.
All right, let's go over to running back. James White, he's 56% owned, playing Seattle next week. Do you think he's droppable at this point?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that he is 100% droppable at this point. A lot of people already have Deion Lewis stashed, so, you know, if he's still out there, which I don't know for any reason why that would be the case,
well,
but, you know,
because Deion Lewis is 39% owned in Yahoo leagues. I don't know what it is in, like, ESPN or My Fantasy League or anything like that, but in Yahoo leagues, Deion Lewis is 39% owned.
Why can't the 60% that he's not owned in be any of my leagues, because I would have already had him on my team. But yet,
well,
every single
he is
fucking
never available in our league. He is stashed in IR all year.
every league I'm in six leagues right now, and every league he is owned or stashed in IR. Like every league, but yet he's only 39% owned. I'm like, what the fuck? So yeah, no, if he's still out there in your league, definitely grab Deion Lewis, because he's gonna be a PPR champion coming up.
Another guy, Hightower. He's 54% owned in most. He has back-to-back weeks of over 20 carries. He had 26 carries 2 weeks ago. He had 23 carries last week. Do you think that he's available still? I mean, I think it's a pretty good pickup. He does get to play Denver next week, which I do think that the split's going to be a little bit more tilted towards Ingram next week. But, I mean, you never know. I mean, it could be a situation to stay away from altogether. It's real murky.
Yeah, it definitely is real murky, but I think that if, you know, if Hightower is still out there, I wouldn't spend a waiver priority so much on him, unless you're really desperate and you need somebody to start running back this week because of the injuries or buys or whatever. But if you're not really desperate for a running back and you kind of just want to stash the guy, I think I would wait till the waiver period ends. If he's still out there, I'd snag him. I think that he's definitely worth an add, too, because, you know, we all know Mark Ingram has had health issues, so, you know, he's always a good handcuff to have, especially a handcuff that's already getting work right this second.
How do you feel about your boy Juju Harris? He had a really good game this past week, actually, against the Saints, and
yeah,
he's available over in two-thirds of the Yahoo leagues.
Did you like that move in Dynasty? I felt like that was a good move. I think that he's worth an add too, because I noticed with Carlos Hyde, you know, these injuries tend to linger with him. Like everyone, it's like, oh, wait, he'll be back next week.
Considered week to week, so
and
who knows when he'll be
week.
Back.
I mean, he was said to be back 2 weeks ago, and he's still not back. So I would assume that what he's dealing with is kind of a serious injury, and Juju Harris is kind of his name is Juwan Harris, but you know who are we kidding? It's Juju Harris. the guy has clearly cemented himself as the top back in San Francisco aside from Carlos Hyde, so I think that you should kind of add him as you see needed.
This next guy, Rob Kelly, he's owned in 29% of leagues, and, you know, I think Gruden came out and said that he's going to be the lead back, and Matt Jones is going to have to earn his job back, so that definitely was a turn of events that I kind of seen coming. We tried to hint at it a little bit, and now it's finally come to revelation. So, Rob Kelly, if he's available, you definitely want to pick him up.
Yeah, you know, with Rob Kelly, though, I don't necessarily think that he's going to, like, just get, like, it's not going to be, like, a 3-to-1 split type of deal with him. I think it's going to be more of a 2-2 split with him and Jones. But I do think it's going
to like 50-50?
Yeah, 50-50 split. That's what I mean by that. Like, well, I usually use a ratio of 4 because 4 down. But, Rob Kelly, I think that he's definitely worth an add, but I think for right now, he's not exactly what I would say startable. I think maybe flex-worthy, but right now, I just keep an eye on that situation.
is this time of the year where you don't even have a chance of them being a starting running back. You got to get them on your team because this is the time of the year where you want to – like a starting running back is pretty much premium. Like if he's going to be the starting running back, I could definitely see him playing. I wouldn't necessarily play him this week. He does play Minnesota, but, you know, Minnesota's defense is kind of getting shaken up a bit these past couple of weeks too.
Yeah, some of them just don't know how to finish their tackles, and it's showing. I think that secondary is still scary, but I think that run
defense. We're
looking at you, Harrison Smith. Cheers to you, buddy. But yeah, no, definitely, I totally agree with you, Robert Kelly, stash him right now. Like, if he's still out there, I think I'll support the Nat.
I mean, I actually do think you can flex him because I really like the way that kit guy runs. He runs low with power. He has a low center of gravity. He always seems to fall forward and fight for the extra yards. I really like that kid. He plays like an undrafted rookie.
So much I like how he plays, I just hate Matt Jones. So I by default like this kid.
All right. Jeremy Langford can stand the waivers. I feel like all those guys that picked up Procise, it just was not meant to be tonight. Utilized enough.
Yeah, well, you know, I do want to say one thing about James Starks, because I think this is pretty relevant. If you are trying to rush the waiver wire and get James Starks because you think that, you know, he's going to, you know, get that three-down roll and everything like that, you are sadly mistaken, in my opinion, because last year, same sort of thing happened. Lacy was out for an extended period of time. They threw Starks in there, and he was completely ineffective. Trust me, I had him stashed.
Yeah, well, my thing is, even when he was playing this year, he just looked like a bad football player.
Yeah, he's just bad at football. I would just leave him out there and let somebody else waste their waiver priority on the guy. But yeah.
How do you feel about Peyton Barber, 18% owned? Who knows if Doug Martin's going to be ready in time? He pretty much like the only healthy back on that team. I think other than like, I think there's like another back that's like a six stringer, but I mean he's the last green guy.
You know, yeah, he's the last of the Mohicans right now, so I think I'd go get him. Like you said, you know, you said it's the best. Running backs are premium this time of year, and you definitely want to stock up on them because, you know, who knows what injuries are going to happen. Usually how fantasy leagues break out is, especially in PPR, you know, the guys that support the running backs, you know, are typically going to be the most successful. So, you know, hoard those running backs. You're going to need them.
And I can't believe we still have to say this, but – Alfred Morris is 13% owned, and I honestly think he'd be an RB1 if anything was to happen to Ezekiel. I really hope it nothing does happen to him, but I'm just saying, like, he is if he's out there and you're a Zeke owner, shame on you.
Yeah, exactly. If somebody else doesn't already have him, like as a like ha ha ha, I'm gonna get you when Elliott goes down type of deal. Yeah, I would definitely have Alfred Morris owned or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, he should be owned in nearly all leagues, you know, just in case, you know, because if that Elliott owner gets fucked because of his injury, you know, you got a golden ticket right there.
You know, Terrence West, he looked fucking terrible against Pittsburgh. He had, like, 15 carries for, like, 30-something yards. And there was some rumblings about Kenneth Dixon getting some more work when he actually did get more work. But he didn't do shit with them either. He only had 9 carries for 13 yards. So I don't know if that's ever going to come to be a thing this year.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna give it one more week because I do have a stash in the league, and I've been playing sit and wait for him with him for about 5 weeks now. Now that Terrence West has been completely ineffective, you know, maybe they give Dixon a little more opportunity. To earn this and see if it trends in his direction. If not, I'm dropping him. So I'm saying give him one more week if you have him.
I loved the fuck out of this guy preseason. I was ranting and raving about him. I was like, man, this could be the guy that breaks out of this running back group. And I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. But, yeah, if you do have him, I guess you could wait one more week. Because, I mean, there's really no must-ads. Like, I'm just this week, my eyes, really. So you can always keep that in mind.
We're
talking about Paul Perkins, and he ended up getting a little bit more work than normal. He had 11 carries, 32 yards. He still got out-snapped by Rashad Jennings, 37-22, but I think he looked a little bit more effective with the ball.
Yeah, he did too. So I think it's turning in his direction a little bit. I think that he's definitely worth a stash in a lot of leagues. I wouldn't say it's so much that he's a must-own, but I think that, you know, like I said, if, you know, you're a fan of the strategy of hoarding running backs, I think he's a guy to have. If you have a guy that's droppable on your team, I think it's definitely worth an ad.
No, I know we're going kind of – we're diving kind of deep on these running backs, but this is one other guy I do want to mention is Bibbs. You know, he had a 69-yard touchdown reception, and, you know, there's been some rumblings that he's going to get some more work because Devontae Booker just hasn't been that receiver – or the running back one that everyone has pegged him to be so far. He's only averaged 2.6 yards a carry, and he actually got outgained by over 60 yards by Bibbs this past week.
I agree. I think that, you know, Capri Bibbs is definitely worth an ad in a lot of leagues, especially if you are a Devontae Booker owner, you know, and you have pretty high waiver priority, just as a contingency plan, because, you know, you want to have that, you know, break pace of emergency there just in case. But at the same token, I don't necessarily think that this is so much Booker's fault, because I also think it's game flow based too. Like, the game flow was fucking terrible, and they didn't give him a whole lot of opportunities, and the opportunities they did give him, they just, I don't know. I felt like they put Booker in a position to fail, especially this last game against Oakland. So it's good to keep an eye on, but the limited snaps that he did get, he was completely ineffective, didn't do anything. And, you know, Bibbs did have that 69-yard highlight reel touchdown, so definitely something to keep an eye on.
Booker had 11 touches for only 30 yards. I feel like this Denver offense could be in a lot of trouble if they don't get that running game back on track. So,
yeah, exactly.
They got to figure something out.
I think at this point they're just desperate to get something going. So I really do think that Gary Kubiak, you know, he showed it last year, you know, when C.J. Anderson was being a little ineffective. He threw Ronnie Hillman in there, and he alternated them as starters. And they're not working out, you know, towards the end of the season. But, you know, so he's definitely not afraid to, you know, take his number one guy and, you know, send him on the bench. So I think that if he thinks it's going to help the team, then Capri Bibbs is definitely worth an ad.
Speaking of Ronnie Hillman, you don't have to worry about picking him up or anything like that, but he's now part of, like, a three-man rotation over there in Minnesota. It looks like a rotation from hell right now.
Looks god-awful, man.
It's not a good rotation either. You're right.
Do you actually have to ask you this question? Do you think Jerick McKinnon is droppable? Because I say yes.
I'd say just let him rot on your bench.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if I don't necessarily know.
Because, I mean, he could still end up being a starting running back, but right now it's a rotation from hell, and none of them are really performing very well. The offensive line can't block. I'd say let him rot on your bench.
Well, Ronnie Hillman played the best out of all three of them this weekend. So
he did.
That's kind of saying something. But
that's why I brought him up.
I would also say do not fucking add this guy. He's not worth an ad.
No. Hell no. Let's go over to receiver. Corey Coleman, he's owned in 55% of leagues, but so if he's there, that's great. He looked pretty decent in the first half, but then the second half, obviously, Cleveland got shut the fuck down. But he had 3 catches off 7 targets, 41 yards. I mean, it was nice to see him get the targets.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little else to speak of, you know, in that Cleveland offense. So a guy like Corey Coleman could be a great ad, especially with the targets he's getting. And he showed that he has that playmaking ability in the first couple games, and he got dropped by a lot of teams. So if he's out there, I would definitely grab him.
Kenny Britt, owned in 51% of leagues. He's on pace for 1,100 yards and six touchdowns. He went 449 and a touchdown off 6 targets.
Yeah, you know, little else there in L.A., you know, to compete with him. So I think that he's definitely worth an ad too. If anything, you know,
I'd say he's a flex play almost.
Oh yeah, no, I would definitely say he's a flex play.
Welcome back, Steve Smith. He came back. He had a kind of a mediocre day. I mean, he had 4 catches for 47 yards off 7 targets, and 30 of those 47 yards came off one play. He did add a 2-point conversion, but I mean, at least he's back on the field. I just think that I kind of feel like if he is on the waiver wire, you could just leave him there. I mean, there's really not a high touchdown upside for him just because, you know, Flacco's really not playing that well.
Yeah, true. I think they still worth an ad off of principle. I mean, you know, if he's out there, if he's productive, the only thing I would worry about is, you know, his old age is finally catching up to him, and, you know, these injuries are tending to linger with him. So, you know, if you do waste your waiver priority, you better damn sure need a wide receiver this week to add him.
If Michael Floyd's available, I think you could leave him there, too. He's owning 50% of leagues. Same thing with Lockett. He's owning 43% of leagues. They're just not seeing the volume, you know.
Yeah. Here's the one that I get a popular question about, Cordarrelle Patterson. He's starting to pick it up in Minnesota, but I really don't see him being worth necessarily an ad in standard or PPR leagues. He's not seeing enough volume right now.
He's got 18 targets the past three games, but there's definitely better options out there.
Yeah, and the thing is too is he's caught a good amount of touchdowns in the last three games too. So you know, that's another thing.
Well, he hasn't caught any the past two games, but he did have two back to back before that.
Yeah, that's what I meant. But I think that he's a guy to definitely keep your eyes on. But you know, don't be the guy to add him this week. I think that it's a little too premature right now.
One of my favorite ads this week for receivers though is Rishard Matthews. He's only in 30% of leagues, and he has five touchdowns in the past five games. Kind of
looking like
the number one receiver over there.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really getting a whole hell of a lot of yards, but you gotta like. I think you add him. You know, if you're one of your top receivers on a bye, or you know, you need him to fill in for a week, and you know, you got a close matchup coming up this week. I think he's definitely worth an ad just because of that touchdown upside. You know, Mariota's kind of got that chemistry with him. I think he's worth an ad.
If Meredith is out there, you can leave him there. Yeah, this next guy, I want to bring him up, not because you should bring him up, but I just want to talk shit about him. Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair.
Okay. Torrey Smith had 18 yards, and Kaepernick had nearly 400 yards this past week. I mean, that's really bad if you're Torrey Smith.
Yeah, what the fuck was up with that? Your quarterback has 400 yards, and you're one of the quote-unquote top receivers on your team, and you can only muster 18 yards. Yeah. That's good. Good job, buddy. I mean, I would call him the Blue Falcon of the Week if he was actually a fantasy-relevant guy, which, you know, he's not. So I think we can safely just leave it at that.
Said Humphreys had five catches against Tampa Bay, or for Tampa Bay, mostly in garbage time. I think there's another guy you could leave on the waiver wires. You know, a guy that I'm surprised that is not so highly owned is J.J. Nelson. He's owned in 14% of leagues. I definitely think he is worth an ad, though.
Yeah, J.J. Nelson, you know, he could be emerging, you know, with fucking Floyd struggling in Arizona. I think that, you know, John Brown being kind of inconsistent, I think that somebody's got to break through there and, you know, be that target in Arizona.
You know, I heard some rumblings about the coaches saying that he's the number two receiver over there.
I could definitely see that happening. You know, who knows at this point? The Arizona offense has been so the only player that's been consistent on that team is David Johnson. Everybody else is just, you know, you need to rethink yourself.
Yeah, your boy Robert Woods himself a ball game this last or caught 10-13 targets for 162 yards.
Yeah, I know. That was amazing. I couldn't believe it.
I mean, with that being said, though, I think you could leave him on the waivers, but he's definitely out there.
Yeah, I don't know, man. He had a game from hell this week. I mean, he played a tough matchup, and he made the most of it. So could we be seeing an emergence from Robert Woods? I doubt it, but it's still nice to see.
Let's go over to the last position, tight end. Zach had his best game of the year. He's owned in 56% of leagues. I kind of need to see it again in order for me to trust that because he's looked bad in most of his other games.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to trust the guy. I last week I kind of put him on blast, and I think he deserves it because every year we hear about how, oh, man, he's so great. And yeah, you know, he had a good game. He made me eat it this week, but I got to see it again first.
All right. Also, Zach Miller is owning 53% of leagues. If he's out there, man, I think he's going to get some more look. I don't think his looks are going to go away with Cutler being at the helm, because he looked just fine with him this past week. So I would not be worried if I was a Zach Miller owner.
Yeah, I would be completely fine with Zach Miller too. I think that with Jay Cutler in the lineup, I think that he's a very safe play in any format. Just in regards to his ceiling.
Now this next guy that I want to bring up, he's owned in 66% of leagues, but he's a guy I feel like he's going to end up on the waiver wires this week because of buys, because Eric Ebron's going on his bye week. If someone is foolish enough to drop Eric Ebron, I feel like you could pick him up, because he's been on a tear lately. I think he got 79 yards off his injury and then came back and returned with like 94 yards this past weekend. So it definitely looks like him and Matthew Stafford are starting to click. And if someone's willing to drop him because of a bye week, I would try to scoop him up if you have the space on your bench, just try to stick there, and then eventually I think you end up being a tight end one.
Yeah, he's definitely been flirting with those numbers recently, and I love the chemistry. So I definitely tend to agree with you.
You know, another guy that's been flying underneath the radar is Kendricks from St. Louis. LA. I know kind of touched on him before, but look, he has 29 targets for 179 yards with a touch. I think he has one touchdown with the past 3 weeks. So, I mean, in a position where that's so thin, I mean, that's not something that you can just be ignored. I still think he's more of a tight end too, but it's definitely nice to see, especially if you have like a fill-in guy. That wouldn't be a bad issue. It wouldn't be a bad thing, especially since they do play the Jets this next week. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. I think that it's been kind of impressive what he's been doing lately. However, with that being said, he's so hard to read, because this guy is not fantasy relevant in my eyes, but yet he turns these good matchups into something, and that's pretty much all they are in my eyes. It's good matchups. So I would be really hesitant on an ad for this guy, but you can't deny the success he's been having. So, if you're desperate a tight end, he might be the guy.
Austin Hooper has 11 targets the past two games. He turned his last game against Tampa Bay into 3 catches for 46 yards and a touchdown. I really wouldn't read into it too much, though, because Jacob Tammy could be back. Fedorowicz, I got to keep bringing him up because no one wants to own him, but he just keeps producing. His last 5 games, he has 34 targets for 24 catches, 272 yards, 3 touchdowns. Probably wasn't picked up last week because they were on a bye, but he's still out there a lot of leagues. If you're in need of a tight end, that he's a perfect candidate to scoop up and just plug him right in there.
Yeah, I think so. But he plays in an offense with Brock Osweiler, which is not so much a recipe for success.
That's the thing. He's been doing pretty good with that shitty-ass quarterback.
but that's what I'm saying, though, is that he has a safety net for a horrendous quarterback. So, he's always going to get that value of, I got this short dump off, make something happen. So he's going to probably still see production, I think.
All right. Is there anyone else that you want to bring up, or are we good to go?
I think we're good. I think we kind of covered everybody.
All right. In case you haven't heard, on our last show, we said that we are now on Blog Talk Radio. We're still on Spreaker. We're on iTunes. We're on your mother, your late. That's a joke. We're trying out Blog Talk Radio now. It's the site we're going to try to promote a little bit more. Please leave us some written reviews, comments on there. Rate us and review us on iTunes. That would be greatly appreciated. We also, on our website, we have a new page that we've set up on our website. It's the Fantasy Football Network, something that we got into on Twitter. As over 25 different links to different podcasts. So it's kind of like a hub that we have, like all these different shows of all of our favorite people that are great fantasy football minds. If you go to our page, www.the/fifth/down.com/podcast, you'll see it on there. Yeah, a lot of great shows. It has dynasty shows. It has redraft shows. Hell, it even has IDP shows. So definitely check it out if you want to get a different perspective on your football. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, guys, take it easy. And, you know, hey, keep listening to us. If you want to win your league, stay with us. We got you. We'll win together.
Yeah, we're giving you that extra down advantage. So that'll pretty much do it for today's show. Stay classy, Fifth Downers.